doing tonight? Awesome, awesome. Let's get ready to rumble. Let's go ahead and get in the Word. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. That's right, my man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would be with us and that tonight you would teach us supernatural things. You would teach us how to understand the mind of Jesus, the mind of Christ, that we might think like him. Father, he came to this earth and he brought healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, but he was the epitome of love itself. He was not afraid to tell the truth, and sometimes it hurt and sometimes it healed. But he is love, and his mind was one of the sharpest minds ever created. We pray, God, that we would have that genius mind of Jesus Christ, that you would give us that overcoming mind of Jesus Christ, that you would give us that empowering mind of Jesus Christ, that you would give us the confidence of Jesus Christ, that today as we talk about the word, it doesn't seem as story or fantasy or the impossible, but it seems like the possible within reach of our grasp. I pray that you would give us good understanding, good perception, and good wisdom tonight with prudence. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's get ready for God's word. Now, remember, I done told y'all that the angels blessed the first three rows. All bets off on the other one. So we got all these empty spaces. Come on up, y'all. No need to sit in the back. You know, I believe that if you want something from the Lord, come on, get close to him. You know, that's the woman with the issue of blood didn't stay away. She got close. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, amen. We are going to continue in our series, and we're going to be talking about spiritual things. And do I have somebody with a microphone ready to go? Beautiful. We got one here. Brian, would you hold on to that one? We need one more person to help on the other side with a microphone. Do we have any young people here? Anybody? Tanya, thank you so much. We are going to enter into the realm of the scriptures and allow God to teach us what the Holy Spirit would have us to walk in. Somebody say walk in. Walk. Now, what I'm about to share with you isn't guessing games. It isn't an encouragement or a fantasy or a story. Everything that we're about to talk about has been evidenced, it's been seen, it's been experienced within this church and a multitude and millions of churches that are around this world. It's happening in a great quantity in third world nations. It's happening in some of the largest nations in the world because God, his kingdom is on the move. Somebody say amen. God is actually shifting our focus off of ourselves back up to him. And in all of these countries and all of these different nations across the seas and in the U.S., people are experiencing the move of God like never before. And ladies and gentlemen, my desire for you is that you don't take this as a story. Do not do that. Let me put a precursor on what we're going to teach tonight. This is not fantasy. This is reality. Okay, and everything I'm about to read belongs to you. Now, let me preface what I'm about to say to you with love. Let me preface this that a lot of the scriptures we're going to talk about tonight come out of the book of Corinthians. The book of Corinthians. Can anyone tell me, based on your understanding, what Corinthians, especially 1 Corinthians, was dealing with? What was 1 Corinthians really all about? Okay, if you think you know or just want to take a try at it, raise your hand up in the air and let me see your hand. What was 1 Corinthians all about? Because, listen, context determines meaning. Say that with me. Context determines meaning. Whatever the context of the verse is, whatever the context, what comes before it, what comes after it, determines what you're reading. Many times we've been raised in church and we're getting great verses like, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we hear that in the simplest form as a verse. But how many know it's not a verse? It's in a paragraph. And it's in a paragraph within a letter. And there's a content and a context that it's trying to explain to you. And when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he's not talking about good times. He's talking about in your bad times. When things get tough, that's when you need to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's talking about going through trials. He's talking about ups and downs. He's not talking about everything's rosy and smells like vanilla. No, it is when you are going through. Now, has anybody in here ever gone through anything? Anybody in here? Anyone going through anything right now? Anybody? Amen. Here's the reality. In order to get beyond the flesh, you've got to dive into the spirit. Write that down, please. In order to get beyond the flesh, you've got to dive into the spirit. All things are given to us by the Spirit of the living God. In us is the kingdom of God. Jesus said that the kingdom of God doesn't come by observance, meaning you can't look at a person and tell the depth in their life. You can't look at a person and see how important they are to God. You can't look at a person and tell their testimony. No. The Bible says the kingdom of God doesn't come by observance. The kingdom of God is in you. Amen. Meaning it's in a place that people cannot see. The most important thing in your life, most powerful thing in your life, you can't see. Now, what does that say to you when it comes to troubles and trials? Think about it, because we're going to take another level. Think about it. If the greater is what you can't see, and the lesser is what you see, then when you're facing your trials and tribulations and you see them, that means that greater is he that is in you than he that is. In other words, whatever you're facing that's real and natural and you can see it is subject to the Spirit. That means the verdict is not over just because someone said something. The verdict is not over because a doctor's diagnosis. The verdict is not over simply because it looks like a dead end. The verdict is not over until God speaks. And he crafted the mountains with wind. He separated the seas with his breath and caused dry ground to form. Are you kidding me? What in the world can stop God? Nothing in this world can stop God. He made it. So if it's a product of his creation, then there's nothing that can top him in this world. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I'm saying that because many of us, if you're anything like me, when life hits, it's hard. Right? You don't start quoting scriptures right away. You know what I'm saying? When things get rough, you don't just, God said. You don't do that. You usually start complaining. You start worrying. You start breaking out in sweats. The person you love closest, you start yelling at them. And then you start telling God why. And then after you get through that, and there's a peace and a calm, then you go, God, I need you to help me. And there's a little process we go through. But what if you can get through that process like that? What if you stop allowing what you see to stop you and let what you don't see drive you? Oh, my gosh. Man, what if you don't let what you see stop you, but you let what you don't see drive you? In other words, let God, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, meaning I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, but the evidence of things not seen, meaning you don't hope for stuff and don't think to get it. No, faith by nature produces evidence. Oh my God, are you kidding me? You mean just having faith alone produces evidence? It pulls out of the unseen, brings it into the seen, and you look at it and go, wow, that had to be God. Anybody ever had an aha moment with God, where God came through at the last minute? I mean, okay, now watch this. Here's what I need y'all to stop doing. I don't need any water fountains in here. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a water fountain? No. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We don't need to go trickling in every now and then. We need to have an open flow of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives so that we don't think, oh, he did it this one time. Oh, he did it when I was 20. Oh, he did it when I was 50. Oh, no, 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 no. He'll do it every day if he has to. But you have to know who you are. You know, the greatest crisis that the church faces today is identity crisis. That's the truth of truths. The greatest crisis that the church faces today is identity crisis. Meaning, people sometimes will look at their life at what they don't have and measure that to mean what they can have. I'm not rich enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't look good enough. I don't have connections. I don't have credit. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. I don't have that. And we talk about what we don't have, but what do you have? Come on, somebody. If you've got the kingdom of God in you, oh my, that's all you need. I love the fact when Moses was crossing the Red Sea, and God brought them out with great signs and wonders. They had. Can you hear me? Oh, is this on the right ear? I think I had it on the wrong ear. How, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is that better? And y'all didn't say a word. Shame on y'all. Here's a funny thing for me is that Moses was brought out of Egypt by signs and wonders, 10 of them, 10 plagues. And when they were leaving Egypt, the Egyptians wanted them out so bad, they gave them gold and silver and said, get out of here, get out of here. I'll pay you to get out of here. You know what I mean? And so they gave them gold and silver, and they started going across. And then somebody said, what in the world are we doing? And they said, come on, everybody get on your chariot. Let's go get them. And they began to ride after the children of Israel. Now here's the thing, the kingdom mind that I want you to understand. If God sent you out, God can keep you out. Understand that. If God sent you out of that trouble, if God sent you out of that location, if God called you out of a place of bondage, he can keep you out of that place of bondage. And the children of Israel had come out, and they got to this place called the Red Sea. And the sea was just huge, and they couldn't cross it. And everybody gathered at that sea, and they turned around, and guess what they saw behind them? Here comes Pharaoh and his whole crew. Them jokers were mad because they felt like they got duped. It's even worse when a person loses what they think that you got over on them. So they were riding hard to get them, right? Pharaoh himself was coming. And here's Moses at the Red Sea, and he's stuck. What in the world do you do when you're stuck? What in the world do you do when you're stuck? Somebody said pray. What else you do? Somebody, hold on, let's get a microphone. Raise your hand. Tell me what you do when you're stuck. What do you do? This is mind changing. You need to get this. What do you do when you're stuck? Read. Over here. I saw a hand up. You got your hand up? None of your business. Go ahead and then give me your answer.
You call upon the name of the Lord.
Okay, you say call upon the name of the Lord. She said prayer. Somebody else. What else you do when you're stuck? Okay, down here. Pray. Call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, pray. What else? What do you do when you're stuck?
Have faith and begin to speak to whatever it is you want.
Okay, have faith. Somebody else.
Wait.
What was that? Say that one more time. You wait. Okay, so what you do is in God expects you to just wait. How many agree with that? Now let me tell you what. I gotta show you how she raised her hand. She was like, she didn't even lift it up. She was like, ooh. That's about all I can give you. How many believe you can, that when you're in a crisis that you have to wait? Define what that means to wait on the Lord, would you please? What does that mean to wait? I need a microphone over there, please.
You don't run, you don't panic, you don't jump up and down, you wait.
You just wait. Wait for what?
For the Lord to take his action, for him to do what he's going to do.
Wait a minute, for the Lord to do what now?
Take action, do what he's going to do.
Okay, so basically, you don't do nothing, you wait until the Lord takes his action. How many agree with that?
I'm not saying literally, I'm saying your attitude is that you don't...
Oh, you're talking about an attitude.
Your feelings, your emotions, you don't feel like you're going to be abandoned, that it's not going to happen, that it's not going to work out, that he's ticking too long, that it's not going to happen. You don't panic, you wait.
You wait. So, okay, but what? That's what you don't do. So what does that mean to do? You just told me everything you don't do. What do you do? I'm talking to now let me stop and readdress my audience. I am not talking to people who do not have a God. I am speaking to the sons and daughters of the great King. Please, remind yourself of that. Do that now. Do that now. In your mind, tell yourself who you are. I am a daughter of the King. I am a son of the King. Now, I don't want you to talk to me like a pauper. I don't want you to talk to me like you're a servant. I don't want you to talk to me like you're a distant stepchild with bad teeth. You ever had somebody, stepchild with bad teeth? I mean, every time they get a spanking, the breath come out, and the dad want to spank them harder. No, you're not that bad. You are a child of the what kind of? He's not dead. He is what? That means even in this generation, he is mobile. He's alive. He's active. He's moving. All right. So I want you to say to yourself again, I am a child of the King. Say it. Say it again like you're mad. Go. Now look at somebody and say it to them. Turn to another person and say it to them. Now look at me and say it. Okay, so when we start to talk and I ask you questions, don't answer like you're not. Don't speak what you think you are. You know you are a child of the King. Yes. All right, so when you are waiting, what do you do?
One of the things that I do is that whatever I'm facing, if it's causing fear, and because I can't see it naturally, spiritually, I begin to feed my faith. And the way I do that is that I go into the Word and get scriptures that apply to the situation that I'm going through or looking at, and declaring and telling it according to the words that God uses to tell it what to do until it manifests, until I see it. And
Hold on. Let me stop you, because I got a problem with that. You speak the words that God uses. Explain what that means.
What that means is if the word says,
does God have to use the verse, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God?
No.
He doesn't need to use that, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. But you need to use it.
Yes.
Okay. But that's a description of what you are to do to build yourself up. That doesn't say anything about utilizing your potential. Right here. Right over here. And then over here.
The way I understand it is when Jesus taught us to pray, he said to pray as if you've already received it.
There we go. Now I need you to, that's spot on. Why? If I am a son and a daughter, the Bible says, if a son asks a father for bread, will he give him a stone? Yes? Who said yes? Okay, got it. Okay, had me nervous there for a minute. All right, so this is human people. This is natural people. If a son asks for fish, will he give him a scorpion? Okay, he won't do that, right? So hold on a minute. If the Bible goes on to say, if one of you asks for the Holy Ghost, it is the Father will give it to them that asks. Meaning that if you speak it, because he didn't say you're God, do you notice the denotation here? He said your Father, and he's using terms of endearment, terms of inheritance. Oh, whoo, if I could just get somebody to catch this. You've got to grab hold of the inheritance language. The inheritance language. What if I said to you, you have a will with $1 million written to you? How would you act? Now watch this. Some of y'all were like, I'm too good for that. I'm being real. Because y'all are like, this is real people. That was not serious. Okay, let me ask you again. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? So when I ask you, what if you had a will with $1 million in it, how would you react?
Yeah.
I got a couple. There we go, girl. There we go. God give it to her in Jesus' name. Hey, come on now, because what I'm saying is that the first access, see, listen, you've got keys, and the only way to access your will and to access your inheritance is by faith. And if you don't understand it belongs to you, you'll never ask for it. Kingdom happens to people who ask for it. Oh, the Bible says this, that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Everybody say, by force. No, you got to look like you're hungry. By force. Now, what does that mean? Can the kingdom of God suffer violence? I mean, who can hurt God? No, the Greek word means a pressing. Violent means a violent movement, a pressing in. That the kingdom of God suffers people who are pressing in to the kingdom, and they take what they want by force. They go in and say, that's mine. That's mine. That belongs to me. That's mine. Why can they do that? Why? Why? Oh, come on, you guys, we've been saying it. Because they're children of the King. They speak inheritance language. They speak as if they have an inheritance. So they don't act and talk cheap. There's a minister in New Jersey called Charles Nifton. And he has a healing ministry. He's out of Nigeria. And his church bankrolled New Jersey several years ago, when they fell below their deficit. His church bankrolled the state of New Jersey. How did that happen? Because he had an understanding that I am a son of the King. And God gave him a kingdom idea to help develop a mines in Africa and create diamond bits on the bottom of the drills. And so all he needed was some money. He needed about $1 million to do it. So what he does, he's like, God, I got to go to the bank, but I'm broke. I don't have any money. I have no wealth, nothing. And what God did, he said, but God, I believe you can do it for me. And God came to him, and a man gave him a watch. Somebody say watch. A watch that was worth $40,000. Because when he was praying for the sick, someone got a healing, and they said, we can't repay that, but I can give you this watch. He was a businessman. Gave him a watch that was worth $40,000. Now, God gives him a kingdom dream. The richest thing he owned was on his arm. And most of us, we would hawk it as fast as we could. We'd be at the pawn shop. Hey, if I can get like $200 for it, bro, give it to me. Give it to me. And here's what he did. He took that watch, put it on, and went to the bank. He says, I need $1 million. It just so happened the guy that was approving the loan was a watch fanatic. He looked down at the man's watch and realized this ain't an everyday guy walking up in here. He has to have money. He approved him on the spot. He walked away with $1 million, and then several years later, bankrolls the state of New Jersey. Why? Because he spoke inheritance language. He understood that all that God has belongs to him. What about you? What language are you speaking? I want to ask you, what language do you talk? Do you speak? See, I want to be very honest, and people know this. Anybody that's in my circle, anybody that's around me, anybody around me knows this one thing about Steve Yates. Do not have fear and doubt when you talk to me. Now, I'm not a stupid guy. I understand there are impediments. But if all I hear out of a person is, I don't think we can, I'm gonna get angry. Why? Because the just shall live. When you talk to me like that, you are my enemy of the language. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. You are the enemy of my language. My language is inheritance talk. I speak what I know. Don't come and tell me what God can't do. Now, I may not have it. I may have never seen it. It may have never happened to me. But don't tell me God can't do it. Don't you dare. Amen. Open your mouth because you've never seen it. Tell me God can't do it. I tell people all the time, never base your encounters with God on your generation. Never do it. Don't base it around the people you hang around. Don't ever do it. You better read the word because it's multi-generational. And if it says it, then you take it and let you be the one in the generation that manifests it. Somebody say amen. Man, I want healing, miracles. So what do? I see them. I see healing. I see miracles. I see things happen. I see people's eyes open. I shared a story about a boy who was albino, and he was an albino from birth, and his eyes moved like this all the time, and he was registered as blind. He'll never be able to drive. And on the day he was supposed to be turning 16 years old, we had a church service, and his mom was sitting in the church service the whole time crying, knowing that her son would never be able to drive like any other normal son. And she came to me while the service was going on. I was in the back of that church. I was a minister at the time. And she came to me and she said, with tears in her eyes, would you pray for my son? Because I want him to see like all the other boys. I want him to get his license. And I don't know about you, but that just broke my heart. I mean, it was so out of the box faith. It was like, man, how you gonna tell a woman like that no? I said, all right, let's do it. I said, bring your boy here. And I grabbed his hand. I said, Father, I declare in Jesus' name that as of today, he is no longer blind. In Jesus' name, amen. And his eyes were still doing this. What is significant about the kingdom of God? It is not by observance. Do you understand? It wasn't whether I saw a change in front of my face. I don't care if it didn't change right then. I spoke it. It's the kingdom of God doesn't come by observance like that. You have to believe it before you can see it. He says, if you believe it, you can have it. So his eyes are going like that. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. And his eyes are still doing this. They get in the car, they start driving down the road. He's in a passenger side, 16-year-old boy, albino. And he's sitting there and he goes, Mama, J75329, XYP772, 334779. But mama's like, boy, what you talking about? He says, Mama, I can read all the license plates in front of me. I can read every one of them. I can see them clear as day. They took that boy with his wiggly eyes and went to the DMV, and he had 20/20 vision. 20/20. Why? Because some mother knew her inheritance. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Don't let it be a water fountain. See, when most of us experience God, and let me just ask you, you'll know if this is true. How many times do you really experience God? Most of us experience God when we have a serious crisis, right? And we're at our, there's nothing we can do. And when there's nothing we can do, we can't do anything but trust him. And that's usually when we see God move. That's the trickle effect. That means that we only got to the point of acknowledging our inheritance only when we couldn't do anything but. That ain't faith. Did you hear what I said? That's not faith. That's the trickle effect. I want a flood. I want to flow. That means I got to accept it when I'm not at my last, when I'm not in my worst case scenario. I believe it because he said it, and when he says it, I just go with it. Somebody say amen. Oh, I hope I'm not losing somebody tonight. Listen, you've got to understand it's a kingdom thinking. It is you understanding what is in you. You were bought with the price. You are not your own. The kingdom of God, the whole manifestation of Christianity conquering evil is in you. You are the undying soldiers of this generation. What could you do with what's in you? This ain't a church. This is a seminar. Do you hear what I said? Let's go all the way out to the world. This ain't church. This is a seminar. A seminar means you're going to learn something and go apply it. Somebody say amen. I'm not just preaching to you to make you tickle your ears. I'm telling you that if you understand who you are, you'll stop telling yourself what you're not. See, because what we say out of our mouths is the abundance of our heart. And whatever the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You've got to let the word be the final say on who you are. Either you believe it or you don't. And if you don't believe it, stop confusing people. How many times do we see people that are, you know, they talk about faith all the time, but when the money gets tight, the word gets light. Stop confusing people. If you say you believe, do something. Let me see it. Act on it. Don't keep telling me, I believe God can. God's good. He's able. No, he's God. Abel had a brother named Cain. The reality is that we have to get past the Martha mind and get to the Mary mind. Now, let me explain what I mean. You remember when Lazarus was dead? Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days, and the boy was decomposing. And when Jesus shows up, what was Martha's response? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, don't you know I am the resurrection and the life? And anybody, though he were dead, he shall yet live. Only believe. And she said, yeah. You want to go get Mary? That was her response. Mary's looking for you. Let me go get her. She wanted to be excused from accepting that truth. She didn't like it because it was so it was easier to doubt than to believe. So she went and got Mary. Said, Jesus is looking for you. Jesus didn't ask for Mary. Read it. Read the text. She went and got married and said, Jesus is looking for you. No, she wanted a smoke screen. She wanted to get away from the truth that he just spoke to her. That there was a possibility that her brother would live. She didn't want to hope like that. Oh, my God. Ask yourself, what are you afraid to hope for? What is it that you won't stretch for? You won't believe for because it's just too much. That's where Martha was. He's dead and he stinks. No. I knew him when he was alive. No, he's dead. No. And he stank then and now he's even worse. No. And Jesus walks over to the grave and says these words, Father, I thank you that you hear me. Lazarus, come out of there, boy. Now, the Bible says he said it in a loud voice. Why do you think he said it in a loud voice? Someone tell me why you think he said it in a loud voice. Because, what, Lazarus couldn't hear? He was deaf? Go ahead. Let me see. Why? Why he said it in a loud voice?
To wake up the spirit.
To wake up the spirit so the spirit was asleep?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Somebody else.
I think he said it for the others, for the people who were there to hear.
Why?
So that they can be a witness.
Okay, somebody else.
Well, she's right on that, the scripture says that for he wanted all of them to hear.
Okay.
Because he knew the Father heard him, and this was to glorify the Father.
But remember, he said that prior to that. He said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me, and I say this for their sakes. So he was saying the prayer for their sakes. Okay, but why did he yell out? Why did he yell? Why didn't he just say, Lazarus, Lassie, come on, Lassie, come on, Lassie. Why didn't he do that? Hold on, don't yell out now. What do you say? Blue mic.
If he hadn't said his name, they all would have come out.
Well. Let me say, can I be honest with you? No. Because the power of God is not omnidirectional. The power of God is specific. It's intelligent. It can never miss. See, a lot of people think, you know, well, that's what, no. When he speaks, there's an intent. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we beheld his glory. John 4:14, the only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In other words, the words of God are not separate from the mind of God, are not separate from the thoughts of God, and we beheld him, and it was Jesus. He is very specific. He knows the intent of God's heart. What do we say about the Word of God is what? Quick. And sharper than, and is a discerner of what? The thoughts and the intents of the heart. It understands intent. It's not omnidirectional. It's not omnidirectional. When God says Lazarus, ain't nobody gonna get up but Lazarus. That would be sloppy. God's not sloppy. Somebody say amen. God intends what he wants, and what he wants happens. Okay, that's kingdom thinking. Because in church, we're taught, like the power is just power. And then it's not connected to the mind of God. That's why the world comes up with so much religion. Because they say, oh, new age. Oh, look at these crystals. This does it. That does it. Oh, we're going to come into one light and we're all going to blend into the amazing one light in glory. No. No, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to burn, baby. And if you believe in Jesus, you're going to reign. You better know who you are. And it's our job to tell people who they are so they can tell others who they can be. Oh, y'all missed that. It's the reason we know who we are is so we can tell other people who they can be, so we can have more family. But why did Jesus say it with such confidence? Somebody else down here.
He was speaking with the language of inheritance.
Good God Almighty. She got it. Oh, my God. When you know that you know that you know, your language sounds different. Remember the Bible says when Jesus began to teach, he taught with what? Authority. And people said, we've never heard a man teach like this. Never. Because he had confidence. He spoke with inheritance thinking. He spoke with inheritance language. And so when he says, Lazarus, he's not playing games. He's confident. Lazarus, get up, boy. And the boy came. They had to move the rock. And the boy came hopping out. Why? Because it had to respond to kingdom power. Death can't hold it. Death can't keep kingdom power out of the earth. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So when we send people to the hospital, what do you look at? Are you to walk in a room? Let me help those who go hospital visitation. You are not to walk in a room and look at their injury. You are not to walk in a room and look at the diagnosis. That isn't your job. Your job is just to pray. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's kingdom thinking. Hey, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I don't care what everybody out here mourning and going crazy. Remember what happened with the little girl? Jesus walks in. They say, she's dead. Oh, she's dead. And so they have these mourners. Ooh! And Jesus walks in the room with Peter and John. And they're going, ooh! And Jesus is like, okay. Ooh! Oh, okay. Ooh! And she said, get him out of the room. Why? Why do you got, why, when you've got people that are saying, oh, she's dead. Oh, she's dead. Oh, why did he say, get out of the room? Doubt. That ain't kingdom language. Jesus is just like me. I can't be around people talking crazy like that. I can't be. No, listen, you've got to decide before you walk in the room of confrontation who you are. Are you a son or daughter, or are you a mourner? Come on, somebody. You've got to make up your mind. And when I walk in this room and there's something dead on the bed, am I a mourner or am I a son or daughter of the King? Now let me stop and say this to some of you, because you think, oh, Pastor Steve, you're so unreasonable. That's where you get fanatical. Listen, I'd rather you fall on the side of fanatical than negative. I'd rather you try than try not. I'd rather you believe than believe not. Believe me, I prayed for people and they still died. Did it shake my faith? Not at all. Because I trust in the sovereignty of God. I know my daddy. I know my father. He wouldn't keep it from me if I asked for it. So there had to be a greater purpose. Come on, somebody. You got this. You got to know your daddy. You got to know. See, some of us, we haven't had fathers in our lives. And so we don't trust men. We don't trust elders, or we don't trust authorities. And so when it comes to our father in heaven, we don't trust him either. We feel like we got to make it happen by the sweat of our brow. Hold on, no. You can't determine whether you're going to live tomorrow. You better catch a hold of who you are today. Now, I asked the question when we began this. I said, what do you do when you're at an impasse, when you're stuck in front of something? I had a lot of answers. But I want you to turn in your Bible to this verse here. Let's go back and take a look at someone with a kingdom inheritance mind. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to start at verse 21. Hold on. No, go back and let's go to 14 and 9. This is incredible. This is incredible truths. Incredible truths. See, if you're not inviting believers to sit in this truth session, then you don't believe what you're hearing. Did you hear what I just said? Because if you knew what you were hearing, if you let him that have ears to hear, let him hear. If you understood the weight of what I'm saying that could change people's worlds, you'd be inviting everybody you knew. That's how it works. When you find the word, it's like finding rubies and gold. You'll sell everything you have to get it, because it's more important than things that pass away. Listen to me. I need you to come to grips with the truth. Do you believe this or not? Will you accept this truth as yours or not? Either live for him or live without him. But don't tell me you're living for him and you don't have the belief to live for him. Don't do both. No hypocrisy. Either be in or be out. One or the other. You're either for me or you're against me, is what Jesus said. There ain't no in between. There ain't no straddlers on the fence. You've got to decide. I need you to decide. I need you to come to grips with this. I want you to see what happened when people weren't prepared to come to grips with the truth. When people are excited about what God does, but they don't think God will do it again. They forget who they are. Watch this. Starting at verse 9. Let's all read together. Go. Dog. We got to read the Bible more, shouldn't we? All right. So here they are. They've been delivered. They're excited. They've got gold and silver in their pocket. They had a trickle experience. God is awesome. He was there. He delivered them. And now they're thinking, we're scot-free. The promise was given. We're going to make it to the promised land. Hey, hey, they're walking, stepping, we're walking. Yes, indeed, we're talking. Ha! Yes, we are. And they're marching. Hey, Moses, how you doing? Hey! And then they look behind them, and here comes Pharaoh with not some of his army. I don't know how you, I want you to try to equate that in your life where you thought you got a blessing and then something comes along and looks like it's going to take it all away. You thought, man, I thought I was on easy street and then here it comes. Think about in your life where this really applies. So here they are, this army shows up, not just a couple of them, all of them. And the Bible goes on to say, and his horsemen and his army and overtook them and kept, they were chilling by the water. You're like, hey, we're by the sea. So kids out there fishing. Hey. And here comes Pharaoh. You see the dust from the chariots coming. Look at verse 10 and read. Go. Stop. This is incredible truth. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel had a choice which way to look. Which way are you going to look, kingdom people? No. See, y'all so programmed. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to look to the hills from which cometh my help. I understand that. But something shifted. When David wrote that, the Holy Ghost came upon them. But today, the Holy Ghost is. So quit everybody looking to God. Oh, God. I'll look to God. God will do it. God. God. And God like, I ain't doing nothing. I pray God will say that to us sometimes. Not to me. I wish to y'all. All y'all. Because, you know, we think, well, if I just believe God, God will do it. God ain't trying to raise servants or try to raise somebody to call 1-800-HELP-ME-GOD. He's raising what? Sons of the King. He ain't looking for servants. A servant will cry, oh, master, I belong to you. So you got to, hold on now. Hold on. Let's read. So look what they did. Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and what did they behold? Stop right there. They looked at the enemy. They were focused on what was coming. and the Egyptians marched after them. In other words, they were before. Now, I want you to picture this. They were riding across the plains full speed. Then when they caught them by the water, they slowed down and started marching. Do, 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 do. It's like a clock ticking. And you're going, oh God, I can see him on the horizon. I can see the danger. Watch this. And they were what? Here's the phrase I always say. You can either fear, you can either have fear, or you can have faith, but you can't have them both. You got to choose which one. Okay? Now listen, as I said before, faith is not the absence of fear. It's the antidote to fear. So if you ever fear, don't think that you're weak. Just use your faith to kill the virus of fear. Use your faith to kill the virus that is causing you to be afraid. Use the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. That's what you were saying earlier. You began to study to build your faith. Why? Not to build your faith to believe in what God would do, but to build your faith in who you are. That's the difference. God doesn't want us to always point to him and say, he'll do it. He has sons and daughters. He says, go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he goes to Mark chapter 16, and these signs will follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, speak in other tongues, and if they drink any deadly thing, it won't poison them. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about you. He's trying to get the army to rise up and report for duty. Oh, if we could just understand, that's I don't care how old you are, you can be, Faith, how old are you? 10. She has enough Holy Ghost in her to do exactly what the greatest priest, prophet, or evangelist can do. She's got the same Holy Ghost on the inside. The question is, does she know how to use it? That's why, parents, you got to teach your children the truth. You got to speak the word into them. The quicker they get it, the better they'll be. Now watch this. It says, and Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children lifted up their voice, lifted up their eyes, saw it. They were sore afraid, felt it. And then out of the abundance of their heart, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Why? Why? They cried out unto who? To who? What was their first mistake? What was their first mistake? Somewhere over here. Let's try one of these young ones. What was their first mistake? Hatched.
They were looking up at the Egyptians.
There you go, girl. Thank you. They were looking at the Egyptians. They were focused on what they could see in the natural. And then fear entered in their heart. And you always know when someone is afraid. Why? Because it comes out of their mouth. So I have people tell me, I have faith. But you know, sometimes you got to, no, when you hit me with that sometimes, I know you don't believe that. You don't believe what you're saying. I'll know a tree by its fruit. And if every time you keep ejecting your fruit, every time you open your mouth, I know you don't believe it. These people cried out unto the Lord like, God, you got to help us. Now, let's read what happened next. And here's the second symptom. First thing, they saw it with their eyes. They became afraid. Fear, fear, fear. Okay, I need you fearless. I need you to become fearless. Don't get shook so easily. Right now, we're in a series called Fight the Power. And the reason I'm in that series is because the Lord told me after we had just come off such a word feast, the enemy is trying to take the seed out of your heart. Did you just hear what I said? I started with the story of the sower and how the sower went and sowed seed into the field, and then the birds came and stole the seed away. And here's what the enemy does. We just came through a word feast. We were tossing seeds everywhere. And then all of a sudden, the enemy starts hitting your life. And you know what? Sometimes it's not even in the tangible, it's in the emotional. Some of y'all feel so crunched. You feel so tight. So like you're on the edge, like you're going to lose it. God said, I need you to speak to them and tell them to fight the power. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness where? In high places. Ladies and gentlemen, the only reason you feel in this way is because you are somebody. It's because you have something he has to snatch out. Only you can give it up. He can't take it. You got to give it up. That's how he works. He can't do nothing to you unless you give it to him. And so he presses you to go back to your old way of thinking. Bump all that good word you just heard. Bump all that. It's hot out here. It's getting hot. It's messed up. I don't know. Bump all that truth. Man, look at that bill. That bill came up. Look at that. Look at that person turned on me. Look at that family. Look at that my marriage breaking apart. Look over here. Look at my kids sick. Oh, cancer just came. Oh, tumor. And then all of a sudden this stuff happened. And you're going, bump the word. Take it, devil. Take it. You can have the word. Let's just leave me alone. Leave me alone. I surrender. When not understanding that was your moment. Because when he comes with that and you conquer it, it can't come back like that. See, the enemy knows some of you got buttons on your heart. Remember like we talked Sunday? And he just keep hitting them buttons. That was easy. That was easy. And get you good. Same stuff. Same stuff. Same problem. That was easy. And he hits you because you've never replaced that space with faith. So he can always come that way and go, okay, I can move on to the next one. Look what happens in the world. I need you to see what we are supposed to do. And they said, I love this. They said to Moses, and this is a God honest truth. Can I just be transparent with everybody here? It's tough being a pastor. Can I be real with y'all? Because I can laugh and have fun on the stage, but when something goes wrong in someone's life, they take it out on me. You know why? Let me tell you why. And they said unto Moses, Pastor Steve, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you done this to us to carry us out of Egypt? What? What the? Y'all told me you want to leave. Y'all got gold in your pocket, silver in the other. Y'all been dancing down there by the waterside. Everything was good a minute ago. The moment the enemy show up, oh, Pastor Steve, why you do this to me? Why God leave me? I'm going, what? I'm like, you were my best friend a minute ago. Now you're cussing me out. What in the world? Y'all think I'm playing? It shocks me. Shocks me. When the enemy taps you, what are you going to do? Cuss your pastor out? He's the last one you're supposed to cuss out. He's still got to pray for you. You better keep good people in your corner. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in my corner. Turn the other side and say, I need you too. Listen. We have a habit and a tendency to strike out when things come against us. First, we're afraid, we begin to voice it, and then we look for someone to blame. And in this case, it was Moses. And I love the language they used. They said, someone got smart. Because, you know, they weren't just afraid. They thought through that statement. I mean, that was like, that was smart, Alec. You know what I mean? Someone thought through it. One of them real faithful ones probably did it. You know, one of the ones that, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then hit them, they go, uh-uh, Pastor. Uh-uh. Uh-uh. You said. I'm like, no, he said. And then look what they said, because there were no graves in Egypt, you taking us away to die here, in the wilderness. Why are you dealing with us like this? Why'd you carry us out of Egypt? Okay. How many want to go back to bondage? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. See, that's the whole point. Nobody wants to go back to bondage, but you find solace when you didn't know any better. You find solace that I remember when I didn't think I was better than this. I remember when I didn't think I deserved anything. I remember when I didn't get my hopes up. And now you got my hopes up. It would have been better that you never said anything at all. Thank you. You get it, don't you? You get it. Amen. That's exactly what people do. They get mad because they're like, oh, I believe for a second. Pastor Steve! Listen, what did you think was going to happen? He will test and try you to see if you're fake or real. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about the devil. Life without the devil will test and try you. You don't even need a devil. What you going to do when life hits you? Right now, the economy is taking a tank. Right now, stock market went crazy. And so what? What are you going to do? You got to have to use your same faith anyway. Don't get mad at me. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop believing God. Stop reading your word because things are tough. This is where it matters. How do you know someone can swim unless there's water? You can't be in a, some of y'all want to swim in a puddle. Backstroke. You can't do that. God got you in deep water to see, can you swim? I've been walking with you. Come on, put your hands together. There you go. Yeah, one, yeah, left, then right. Yeah, put your face under the water. Hold your nose. There you go. And go. There you go. And then back this way. Come on back. And he's training you to swim. And then he lets you go. No. Swim. You know the truth. Don't let the enemy take the seed out of your heart. Swim. Run, Forrest, run. If you've been trained, it's time to put it to action so that you can see it in the natural. Let's read on. Watch this. Verse 12. Let's everyone read together. Go. Wait! Y'all see what they're doing? They're looking at the enemy and they're looking at Moses and like, Moses, why you do this to us? Because we ain't want to leave anyway. We don't want to leave Egypt anyway, Moses. You know, why you make us do this? Oh, you going to show out like that? God delivered you, set you free. And you're going to mosey back to the enemy like you never meant to be out here like this. No, you better choose your side. Because in all that talk they were doing, they didn't realize who was in control. God doesn't care what it looks like. 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 God doesn't care. God doesn't care what it looks like. God doesn't care what it looks like. God don't care what it looks like. God doesn't care what it looks like. God don't care. God doesn't care what it looks like. You have to get to a point where you don't care what it looks like. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen from some? You are not to operate by what you see. We are spiritual creatures now. We belong to a spiritual kingdom that's wealthy and rich. And it ain't about money. Wealth comes along with this stuff. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, listen, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And the word wealth has three definitions: men, money, and influence. All that is wealth. That comes with the kingdom. And you don't always have to put it in your hands. See, because if you put it in your hands, some of us aren't ready mentally to handle it. But it'll give you opportunities. He'll let you work it, and it'll let you work your field. And you'll get wealthier and wealthier, and you'll learn higher and higher and higher and higher, and then you can put it in your hands. But we've got to understand who we are. Watch this. And Moses said to the people, have faith. Have faith. You see that? Scriptures say fear not. I'm going to tell you, it says have faith. See, because there ain't nothing else but faith. Fear what? Not. Fear what? God doesn't care what it looks like. I need a little button like that. God doesn't care what it looks like. Wouldn't that be awesome? God doesn't care what it looks like. That was easy. See, you got to get to a point where, see, us as leaders, this is what we have to do. And see, I need everybody that ever wants to be a leader have this ability to do this, to speak faith into people, to speak faith. You don't have any business having a party with fear. We can't do that. We've got to look at God's word and weigh the matter on his word. Trust him. You know, when we had some trustees that totally, I mean, it was one of the darkest times of my life. We had trustees coming to me from our church who said, Pastor, you keep talking that we're supposed to have a building in 2016, and we don't see it. And I had one of my trustees come and say to me, you know, I work with men of wealth, and I have a good administrator that's over me, and he has a plan, and he has a vision, and he knows exactly what he's going to do. You don't have that. I said, yeah, I do. I told you what's going to happen. But you don't have the land. You don't have the building. You don't have it. I said, I do have it. Just not here yet. I can't follow you. Another one comes up. I don't believe. Well, everybody's leaving, so everybody leaving, I guess I got to go. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? It is my job to believe. I don't have the luxury of a for-profit company. I don't have the luxury of investors. My investor comes from heaven. My investor, I can't see. My investor comes when I'm asleep and puts money in my bank account. My investor heals my body when I'm restless and cannot get up. It's my investor I trust. I can't trust what I see. And talking to them and telling them, I had a man come to me and say, well, look at all these people leaving. Pastor Steve, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a stipend. We ain't going to give you a salary no more. We're going to give you a stipend. We'll give you a $25 gift card to live off of. Drive, that's so you can drive back and forth from your house to the church. And then we'll give you $1,000 cash. And if you prove yourself in a year, we'll talk about a salary. Wow. They went to the wrong brother that time. Oh, my God. You should have seen their face when I got finished. I don't play that game. That's politics. That's politics. We operate by faith. So I said, I don't care if none of y'all believe. I said, I know what he told me. I said, I ain't been wrong about the other stuff, have I? No. Well, then why do you doubt now? And so when what we did was they all left. So we got new board members. You know what we did? We all sat down and we said, you know what? Let's pray. And we made a commitment to the Lord to believe. And the moment we did that, in 2 months is when we got this building. Because it took somebody saying, it ain't based on what I see. God don't care about that. Amen. Nobody would have guessed this would have happened. Nobody. See, faith is something that you trust that is there. It unlocks the unseen so that you can see it. Please write that down. Faith unlocks the unseen so you can see it. That's life. Faith unlocks the unseen so you can see it. God, I need a healing. God, I believe. I command a healing. It unlocks it. That's the currency of heaven, faith. You can't buy, barter, or strong-arm God, so don't try. And God doesn't do the pity game. God, why you do this to me? He gonna just turn around. Because I've done that. Anybody else done that? You throw a pity party with God. God, why you? And it's just silent. And you gotta go, God, I believe. He gonna bring you right back to the same spot. He don't operate off of your tantrum. He operates off of faith. It brings the unseen into the reality of the seen. Watch what happens next. Watch this. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still. Stop moving. What did I preach this weekend? You got it, brother. You got it. Sometimes when it gets hot, you just got to sit still and go, breathe, breathe. It's just hot. Don't move. Don't move. Stand still. Don't get angry. Don't lose your temper. Don't go off. Don't run. Don't bail. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't doubt. Just stay for a second longer. The cake is almost done. God got you in the furnace, but it's to make you. It's to create in you a vessel that he could pour his anointing into. You just don't move. I have to learn, we all have to learn this truth from heaven, that we are not to move when we're afraid. Did you hear me? You can't move when you're angry. You can't move when you're fearful. Don't you dare, because you're going to make a wrong move, because faith ain't in it. And anything that's not a faith is what? Sin. You're about to do something and mess up. If it ain't a faith, don't do it. Well, you know, this collector called, and he was like, you got to pay me such and such amount of money every month. Give me your credit card. Okay. What did he do? He terrified you. And you gave him all your money. Now you can't eat. And you come to the church. And I'm like, you need to buy me lunch. You can't do that. Fear, you can't have it. It's not your luxury as sons and daughters. Did you understand what I just said? It's not your luxury as sons and daughters. It's sin. It's not just you shouldn't. It's sin. You don't have that luxury to even fear. So get up and move on. Get up and keep walking in the headwind. Look what Moses said. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still. And what? Oh, Jesus. Isn't the word so good? See how it just comes together? You fear not. They're afraid of what they're seeing. You want to bring the unseen into the seen? Then fear not. Stand still and what? See. Don't move. Don't move. Believe God. Stand. Don't move your ground. This is why Paul says, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. You must stand when the face of the adversary shows up. Stand. You know, I always make a joke because I tell the stories how When I was first, I learned this truth that whenever you go to a hotel, you got to pray over that hotel room because you don't know what happened in that room, and you don't know who been in that room. And there were times we did ministry and I encountered demons in rooms. And from then on, I remember I better pray, you know, before I walk into a hotel room or anywhere, right? And I was laughing. My wife thought I was crazy the other time because I just went on a business trip and I was went in a hotel room and forgot to pray. And I saw this demon rear up. I mean, guys, I'm not joking. I'm not playing with you. I'm talking about this big dude rear up at me at the foot of my bed, scared the bejesus out of me. I ain't even lying. I was like, ah! I ain't lying. That scared me. All my Christianity went right out the window. Ah! Oh, Jesus. I saw this thing for real. But you know, the moment I composed myself, God's honest truth, this is what I said. Dude, if you bother me one more time, you're going to wish you never, ever showed yourself. And I went back to sleep. Now, people say, why didn't you cast the devil out? I was tired. I understand my authority. I was tired. I said, this demon had the gumption. I ain't talking about them little scrawny ones. You know what I mean? That are, I'm not talking about them dudes. I'm talking about them like a bodybuilder demons. I was like, ah! Well, you got me. You got me, bro. Don't do that again. I was gone. There comes a point when you know who you are. And you know what? I slept good that night. That devil was like, whoo, don't bother him. Don't bother him. Because they knew who I was. Once I understood what was happening, took me a minute, I had to fear not, stand still, and see what God's going to do. Guys, that's the formula. That's the kingdom inheritance formula. Fear not. Stand your ground and then see it happen. That's the kingdom inheritance formula. You want to know how to operate as a son or daughter? That's it. And now, we went back and I asked the question earlier. I said, how does a son or daughter operate? Well, let's continue in the story. He said, Moses said to the people, fear ye not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. He didn't say, I hope he does. Oh my God, did y'all see that? He didn't say, well, we just pray and hope and believe. No, he said, God's going to do it. Do you know how many times I say that when I'm praying for people? I say, God's going to do it for you. I'm not playing games. I am a son. I have his inheritance. I have the authority to speak on his behalf. He gonna do it. Boom. That's what God was waiting on. All these years, I used to envy people, envy these men of God, and I never got what they had. What they had was an understanding of who they were. And they spoke in the first person. And he says, let me tell you something. God, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. Now that's a bold statement. Because that army was still marching. Come on, somebody. What are you going to do? See, okay, I got to do this. Because I don't want to treat you as everyday church folk. I'm treating you as sons and daughters. We can't always preachers try to break it down to the everyday practical problem. And we need to stop doing that. It's a principle that applies everywhere. I don't have to talk about your bills because everyone's struggling with bills. I don't have to talk about sickness because everyone's struggling with sickness. It is the same faith can conquer it all. It can be used in every direction like that. You have faith against for healing, it works. If you have faith for deliverance, it works. If you have faith for a miracle, it works. If you have faith for breakthrough, it works. It's not about, well, let me break down about relationships and get everybody giggling about relationships. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you, use the principle. Okay? Fear not. Stand your ground. And look for it. Isn't that cool? He says, look for it. Look for it. Look at your neighbor and say, look for it. Don't come to church and not look for it. Too many times people come to church and don't look for it. And the worship has to get them to a point of wanting to look for it. No, come to church looking for it. When I was coming up in the Lord, I belonged to a church, and everybody used to say to me, oh, Steve, he's just zealous. He's so zealous. He's just silly, zealous. And I was. But it was for the good reason. Whenever I went, we went on a road, and we went to another church, I would always walk in that building and go, God, speak to me. I didn't care where we went. I did not care. God, speak to me. And didn't. I mean, we would go to, like, world-famous people, and they were like, sir, you in the back behind the pole under the third seat. You, sir. Would you roll out this way so I can see you? And they would call me by name, and they'd say, Steve, this is what the Lord said. I had people call my name. I've had people call me out, and my whole church mad at me because how does that happen to you all the time? Because I am looking for it. Why? 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 Y'all ain't got it yet. Y'all don't have it yet. You don't have it yet. Why? 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 Come on, guys. You gotta settle this in your mind. Are you or are you not? The reason I can look for it is because I know. What's wrong with this chair? How y'all gonna have a broken chair up here? My chair broken. In Jesus' name. Listen, because I'm a son of a king. And so when I go in a room where the king is, I'm looking for a shout out from my daddy. Can you do that? Please, can you do that? Who's willing to start doing that? I need more. I need more people to commit. That every weekend you're going to come up in here and stop and say, God, I need you to talk to me. And watch what will happen. Watch when you go to other places. Watch where you walk. People will call you out in a grocery store. They will say, hey, there's something about you at a gas station. They'd be like, man, there's a glow. You're like, there ain't no glow on me. Yeah, it is. God is with you everywhere you go, but you haven't been asking. So start asking so you can start understanding how much he loves you. That's what's missing. We're not looking. Stand and see. And I love this. He says, go back. He says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to these jokers that's bothering you. He says, like you see him right now, you'll never see him again. See, as believers, as sons and daughters, now let me be very clear. I am the pastor of Frontier Church, yes. Do I have more way with God than you? No. Do I have the same Holy Spirit as those who are believers? Yes. So I am speaking to you as a brother and saying to you that what we must do at all times is declare what the Lord will do. Declare the truth. Not the fact may be one thing, but I want you to start declaring the truth over the facts. The fact was, them jokers were still there. But the truth was, you ain't never going to see them again. You got to start doing it. You got to start practicing. And this means rubber hits the road. Okay? We had a prophetic session a couple weekends ago, and everybody practiced their faith. And they were prophesying to one another. And it worked. I mean, people were tripping. I mean, people who had never done it before were killing it. Why? Because we gave you an opportunity to do it. But I can't make you do this one. because I don't know what life is going to hit you with. But I need you to be equipped with this. I need you to start declaring over the circumstance what you want to happen. Why not? Why take a punch in the chin from the devil and not hit him back? Why not? Look what Moses said. Turn to the next verse. And the Lord what? And all it takes is a little bit of expectation. Just a little bit of faith, and heaven moves. Now, Moses set a good game. Let's read what happens next. And the Lord said to Moses, read. Oh my God, it still wasn't good enough. He's like, everybody, don't be afraid. The Lord is going to do it. The Lord is going to deliver us. The Lord is going to do it all. The Lord is on our side. The Lord is going to deliver you. The Lord. And the Lord goes, what are you doing, Moses? What are you doing, man? Don't you see them Egyptians? Is it what you stand here talking to me for? He says, get moving. Oh, my gosh. That is so kingdom. That is so kingdom. Oh, my goodness. We over there like, come on, let's pray. Come on, let's put something on this. Let's just encourage one another. Amen. Amen. And God's like, amen. Get moving. Because God says you can sit around a thing long enough talking about what God going to do when God says, I ask you to do it. Amen. Look what he says. He says, tell the ones who were complaining and fearful, don't tell them what I'm going to do. Tell them the way to combat your fear is to move forward. Oh. The only way to get rid of the fear in your heart is by moving forward. He said, what are you standing there crying to me about it? Now, that don't sound like God, does it? God is too nice. It's the Lord. Come talk to me because I want to hear your voice all the time complaining. Please. I love the complaining. Go, go. Yes, yes. I love it. I'm the Lord. He don't care about it. He like, didn't I tell you Sunday? Didn't we just preach this like for a month, a whole series? I had that man talking to y'all. Didn't I just tell you this in your dreams? Didn't someone tell you at your job? What are you waiting on? Move. Move, move, move. The most irritating thing to me is when I tell somebody to do something. I tell somebody to do something, and then when I come back to look at it, well, I wasn't sure because, you know, that was there, and maybe that was happening, and so-and-so had that. Move! I didn't think I'm going to ever be like that. My pastor used to be like that. He used to talk to me like, move, move, move. I'm like, oh, you're so rude as a pastor. You're so rude. I understand now. I get it. I have my pastor died, passed on. I'm actually talking to him in heaven. I'm so sorry for judging you. Because I get it, because people want to tell me why. It can't work. They want to tell me, look, there's Egypt. Look, they got chariots. Look, here they come. Look, look. I'm like, move, move, move. I didn't ask you all that. Move, move. Just do what I tell you. Move. And people think, am I supposed to do that? I'm supposed to be a nice pastor. No. No. Can I tell you no? No. Not going to be a nice pastor. I'm going to move. Ask them, I don't know what's going to happen. My so-and-so sick, and I'm going to pray. Have you prayed? No. I'm coming to you. No, I'm coming to you.
crying out to me for? Pray. Come on now. It's your baby. You know what I'm saying? It's your child. It's your mama. It's your daddy. I ain't got the heart like you got for your mama. You pray. But pastor, you're the pastor. You know the Lord. I learned that about myself. I come home and I tell Chanita, my filters are gone. You know, when I get to the end of the line and I'm just like, move! And then people, I gotta go home. I gotta go home because I'm mad now. I'm mad because I done told them 100 times and they won't move. They won't move. Well, listen, God said, why are you crying out to me? Speak to the children. See, this is the difference between pastors. There are pastors who encourage you, hold on. The Lord is coming. And then there are pastors. Move! I'm one of them. I'm one of them. When we were talking about the building across the street, remember? And I was like, hey, God told me we're going to need to have that building across the street. And I literally had somebody come to me and say, I was offended. Oh, on the day that you announced that you wanted that building and asked the church to give, I was offended. It's Mother's Day. We didn't come here looking for people asking for money on Mother's Day. I got to spend that on Mama. How? That was so inappropriate, Pastor. God is not going to bless that. I said, really, he ain't going to bless it? No. Well, you know, someone just gave all the money for it. What? Really? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you don't even want, you can't even get mad. You just... Move. God is telling us, as sons and daughters, that we are not to wait. You don't have to wait on me. Look what he says. Tell the children of Israel that they go for it. And then watch this, 16. And then he says this, but lift thou up, what? What? And do what? Stretch out thy hand. And what? What? He didn't say, I will. Oh my God. Brother, I need you to split the wall. Go. See? See? Let me get in my car and try. No, no. He looked at Moses and said, tell them people to move on, and your job, do it. You got something in your hand. It's your rod. It's yours. He says, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and you divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. In the midst of the sea. Watch this. 17. 18. 19. 20. 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And Moses stretched out. His hand over the sea, and the Lord calls the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land and the waters were divided. God ain't gonna move until you do. Amen. That's all he wants you as sons and daughters. He'll back you up, but he's not gonna do it until you can walk in your authority. Divide. God said, all right, I can work now. I choose human vessels. That's how he does kingdom work, through human vessels. You got to let him work through you. Don't stand there crying and yelling and be mad at your pastor. Don't do it. Move forward. Divide the land. That's you. God is waiting on you. There's nobody in here right now under the sound of my voice God can't use. None of you. all of you are equipped to the max to do everything I just said. You just have to believe. How many are willing just to believe? Amen. Let's give the Lord a great hand clap of praise.